Seneca, Letters from a Stoic, Letter Number 2. Judging from what you tell me and from what I hear, I feel that you show great promise. You do not tear from place to place, unsettling yourself with one move after another. Restlessness of that sort is symptomatic of a sick mind. Nothing to my way of thinking is better proof of a well-ordered mind than a man's ability to stop just where he is and pass some time in his own company. Be careful, however, that there is no element of discursiveness or desultoriness about this reading you refer to, this reading of many different authors and books of every description. You should be extending your stay among the writers whose genius is unquestionable, deriving constant nourishment from them if you wish to gain anything from your reading that will find a lasting place in your mind. To be everywhere is to be nowhere. People who spend their whole life travelling abroad end up having plenty of places where they find hospitality, but no real friendships. The same must needs be said to the people who never set about acquiring an intimate acquaintanceship with any one great writer, but skip from one to the other, paying faint visits to them all. Food that is vomited up as soon as it is eaten is not assimilated into the body and does not do anyone any good. Nothing hinders a cure so much as frequent changes of treatment. A wound will not heal over if it is being made the subject of experiments with different ointments. A plant which is frequently moved never grows strong. Nothing is so useful that it can be of any service in mere passing. A multitude of books only gets in one's way. So, if you are unable to read all of the books in your possession, you have enough when you have all the books you are able to read. As if you say, "But I feel like opening different books at different times." My answer will be this: tasting one dish after another is the sign of a fussy stomach, and where the foods are dissimilar and diverse in range, they lead to contamination of the system, not nutrition. So always read well-tried authors. And if at any moment you find yourself wanting a change from a particular author, go back to ones you have read before. Each day, too, acquire something that will help you to face poverty or death, and other ills as well. After running over a lot of different thoughts, pick one out to be digested thoroughly that day. This is what I do myself. Out of the many bits I have been reading, I lay hold of one. My thought for today is something which I found in Epicurus. Yes, I actually make a practice of going over to the enemy camp, by way of reconnaissance, not as a deserter. A cheerful poverty, he says, is an honourable state. But if it is cheerful, it is not poverty at all. It is not the man who has too little who is poor, but the one who hankers for more. What difference does it make how much there is laid away in a man's safe or in his barns, how many heads of stock he grazes, or how much capital he puts out at interest, if he is always after what is another's, and only counts what he has yet to get, never what he has already? You ask what is the proper limit to a person's wealth. First, having what is essential. Second, having what is enough.